Good morning, everyone. It's very good to see you, your cheery faces on a cloudy day. Well, brethren, it's already the fifth day of the feast, and it's amazing how fast the time goes by. I was thinking how many times as we get into these last few days, we don't want the feast to end. We're with our families and our friends, we're meeting new people, and it's a wonderful time. And I can understand why when we read in the days of Hezekiah, it said that the people wanted to keep the feast another 7 days. And it says the whole assembly kept it with gladness. So I look forward to a time maybe when we can all do that. Just say, let's stay here and keep another week. As we assemble, brethren, we must not take this Feast of Tabernacles for granted. It reveals God's holy days, his plan, and how beautiful it is. And so we need to think about that privilege. How we're called now to prepare for an unbelievable future. And so you and I are waiting that. We're getting ready. We're looking forward to it. But this also includes our children, the children sitting right here in the audience, and that the scriptures tell us when the Apostle Paul says that even if one believing parent is with that child, that that child is considered holy. And so, children, I want you to consider that. Do you realize that you have an automatic invitation to learn God's way and to get ready for his kingdom? And it includes all of us. We must be thankful for the daily blessings and that God has invited us to come here and worship him. Recently, in our congregation, I asked a few of the children what they thought about the millennium and that time that is coming. And I'll just share a few of their little comments that they gave. And you think about it from their perspective. Some of them were 5, some 12, some 15. But just listen to a few of their comments. One little girl, I asked her, and she said, she thought for a minute, she looked at me, and you should have seen the gleam in her eye. And she said, I can't wait for those animals to be changed. And I said, well, what animal do you really look forward to? And she says, a tiger. And she walked away, and she stopped, she came back, she goes, a white tiger. And so it's amazing how our little children get all excited, and sometimes even more than we do with the, you know, day-to-day life. Another girl, when I talked to her, she talked about how neat it would be to have sharks as you go swimming, that you could ride them like dolphins, and they would pull you around. And so they have these imaginations that sometimes we lose as we get a little older. And one teenager, I was discussing with her a little deeper, and she talked about in the millennium how none of the stores would have leavening, where you don't have to go through all the ingredients and try to figure out what you need to take out, that during that time everyone would know and how different that would be. And then she mentioned, since she's still in high school, how different it would be instead of the teacher says, where are you going and what are you doing and take this homework? She said, the teacher would say, so long, class, see you after the feast, and everybody goes. And so this is what we're looking forward to. And so just like the children in the audience, we need to show excitement about the coming changes that God has in store. And my question to each of us is, how well do we do that? How well do you look forward to all that God has in store? Do you think about it daily? When you wake up at night, and a lot of the older people here sometimes wake up and say, I can't sleep very well. Do you worry about your troubles and your stress in life? Are you thinking about the beautiful words of God and all that he has in store? Brethren, it's our main priority, we know, should be seeking first the kingdom of God. And so this feast is a reminder of some pretty amazing events that God has in store for all of us. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. As we look around the world today, we see how many are suffering. Some with hunger. Some with disease, other people are in areas of warfare. There's a lot of poverty. And so notice what God inspires Isaiah the prophet to say here in verse 1 of Isaiah 40. He says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. And so the world conditions are noticed by God. He is looking and he knows exactly what is needed. And he will bring that comfort to everyone. Let's skip down to verse 5. The glory of the eternal shall be revealed, and all flesh. So think about this, not just some people, but the time is coming when every single individual will recognize what it says here. It says, all flesh shall see it together. for the mouth of the Eternal has spoken. So if you can, just imagine for a moment a time when your neighbors, your classmates, those you work with, your families, your relatives, all these people, all flesh, see the glory of God in the things that he's going to be doing. Brethren, when Jesus Christ returns, he plans to make some amazing changes on this earth, things that we can take for granted if we have a pretty good life right now. And so my title today is A Time of Transformation. And one of the definitions of transformation is this: a complete change, usually into something with an improved appearance or usefulness. And you think about the power that God has and how he will improve every single thing that we can think of. And so my purpose today is to motivate each of us to look forward to these coming events more than we do. You know, maybe you have a pretty good grasp, but we can do better. We can look forward to these and anticipate them, just like some of the children when they express their comments. These changes are a part of seeking God's kingdom. We should contemplate them. We should talk about them. We should pray about it. And we should discuss them often with all of our brethren. Brethren, these are the promises of God, and therefore we know that they will happen. And that's a beautiful thing, that we can trust everything that is spoken. Notice verse 10 in this same chapter. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And so the pages of the Bible reveal a time of great restoration is coming, and we can look forward to that. These improvements will have a major impact on every human being, and we know they will come about because of God's great power that he has. We must be excited about these changes because we are striving to become the bride of Christ. We will be a part of this. We will be serving by our Lord and Master's side as a group. And it's amazing what God has in store for us. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. And so you think about these words, and we see that God will perform everything that he has intended. Nothing escapes his eyes. If he knows how to number every star, where they are, and everything about them, how much more his children, whom he is getting ready to join his family. And so the conditions in the world that we see and we hear about in the news day by day, God is looking forward to that time more than we are to begin to make these changes and to bring an end to the suffering and pain. Verse 28, it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the eternal, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And so this is declaring to us, brethren, that we don't fully grasp the greatness of God, the wisdom of God. Every single promise that we read in the Word of God will be fulfilled in great detail, no matter how small it is. And so when our little children say, oh, we wish for this beautiful thing, those things will come about, the beauty of what God has prepared. And as first fruits, we've been invited by God now to get ready, to be prepared for all these amazing events. We must picture the transformation given in prophecy. You and I need to talk about these prophecies and to think about them. We need to consider how beautiful the changes are that God will bring about. Do we share this joy with each other? Do we talk about it every chance we get? That's what we should be excited about. If we can talk about a wonderful vacation that's approaching, how much more the millennial setting that God will give us? Verse 31, but those who wait on the Eternal shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so as we read these words, brethren, we should stand in awe at the greatness of God. He has the power to perform every single thing that he has uttered. He is willing to strengthen us so that we can run this race every day for the rest of our lives and to receive that wonderful promise that is on the horizon. God is starting with you and I, though, And we know all these other people that we pass on the streets throughout our lives, their time is coming. But right now he's saying, I'm getting you ready so you can help with these other individuals. We are being prepared to serve billions and billions of people. And it really staggers our mind to think about that. This feast pictures a time when everyone alive will have their eyes opened and they will be invited to hear the truth of God as we are now hearing it. It's a time when God's Spirit is poured out, when all flesh shall glorify God. So today, let's look at three significant areas that we will experience drastic change during the millennium. The first one, and we've heard these scriptures here and there, but let's just go over some of them again. The deserts will flourish, point number one. The deserts will flourish. You think about how much man has really messed up the environment. We pollute everything we touch, the air, the water, the earth where we grow our food. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 35. Just turn back a few pages. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The previous chapter here in Isaiah discusses the devastation that will come during the day of the Lord. And we've heard those things, and how even no matter how bad the pollution is today, no matter how bad the wars, things will continue to get worse. So let's look at Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Eternal, the excellency of our God. And so as we think about the individuals who've lived in deserts and around those areas in past millennia, and how much they struggled in life just to survive, just to get through and feed their family. Without that water, you know, you don't have the crops you should have. Your animals don't have the feed to stay healthy and alive. And so many things are affected by that. And yet Jesus Christ will come and restore some of those areas that you have in your mind, those just barren land and sand, and it goes on and on, so bleak. And God says, I'm going to make it flourish like you wouldn't believe. And so we need to look forward to that. We need to talk about it. You know, I looked on one website, and it stated that today the world's land mass is approximately 17% of it is desert. You think about how much this one change of these deserts blossoming like a rose will change so much. Let me just mention a few of the largest deserts in the world. Some of these are subtropical, others are like a frozen desert. But the first one is Antarctica, which is a frozen desert. It's 5.4 million square miles. And that's hard to even grasp that size, but the United States is 3.8 million, so it would fit right in there, and you'd still have another million plus square miles. And so just that one area that needs to be refurbished would change so much. Think about that area with grassland, with streams flowing, with farms, and how beautiful it could be. If we gave a square mile to each family, which is a large area, you could have right there 5.4 million families living on a large acreage, and how beautiful that would be. The second largest desert, the Sahara, covering areas of Algeria, Egypt, Libya, Morocco, Sudan, and Tunisia. 3.3 million square miles. Brethren, I don't think we comprehend, living in this country and how good we have it, and we have forests and we have grassland, that some people have lived in this area their whole life. Another desert, the Arabian Desert, covering areas in Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, and Yemen. 900,000 square miles. So God's going to make some amazing changes. And so grandparents, can you imagine when your children and grandchildren will live in areas like this that will flourish abundantly, and God says, I'm going to make all this grow and be so abundant you will not believe it. Your children can farm together. It will be beautiful. Let's look at verse 6 here in Isaiah 35. The last half of verse 6, it says, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. So as we think about that, and how there's trillions of seeds in the ground just ready to spring up when God provides this water. And so, brethren, when you think about the rain in due season that will come and how much that will change the face of this earth, it is beautiful. The healing of these deserts will take the power of God to bring that about. In fact, we know that man can't do anything. We're making it worse year by year as we destroy, you know, so many things in society and pollute, and it's causing the deserts to spread and grow. The fourth desert, the Gobi Desert in China and Mongolia, 500,000 square miles. And so, brethren, the list just goes down and down with all these deserts. The fifth one, Kalahari Desert in Angola, Botswana, and South Africa, 360,000 square miles. So we're talking huge areas that most of us have never been to or seen how the people live. And yet God will change many items for the positive in these areas. Let's go back to Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. So my question to each of you is, have you talked about these coming changes in the past 5 days? Have you thought about it? Because that's a part of what these days picture. It's a part of seeking the kingdom of God and looking forward to it. Amos 9, verse 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal. And so do you look forward to the feast and what it pictures of how these changes will come about? We know that God cannot lie and that it will come with all surety, and we're invited to be a part of this. He says, the days are coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. And so the crops will be so abundant that they won't even have time to hardly get them out of the fields before they need to go back in and plant seed. And if you talk to farmers around the world today, they go, what? I mean, they struggle just to get water for their land. They struggle to get enough of bushels of wheat or whatever just to make a living at times. And here God's saying it will be so abundant. It says, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. And so these 7 days should invigorate us about our future. You know, we read about lakes and how they're drying up and streams that are just barely trickling along. And God's telling us a time where that's going to stop, where the crops are just wilted and farmers are just, you know, crying out for rain, but there's none in certain areas. Verse 14, I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. Just think, when people around the world hear this good news, and yet we're hearing it right now, that this is coming, and we have to believe it, we have to talk about it daily. Let me just mention two other deserts. The Patagonian Desert in Argentina and Chile, 260,000 square miles. That's the sixth desert. And just to compare that to today, the state of Texas is roughly that size. And for you, those of you who have traveled across Texas, you know how large that land is. And here's the sixth and seventh deserts in the world about that size. I remember as a child going to the Feast of Tabernacles in the late 50s, and we had to travel from California all the way to Big Sandy, Texas, because it was the only feast site in the United States. And it was a long trip. With the four of us kids in the back seat, we just kept saying, are we there yet? And so these deserts are that big and bigger, and so God's going to change that. Let me just mention one other desert, because it's right here in the U.S. It's the Mojave Desert. It's number 21 on the list. So I skipped all the way down from 6 to number 21. And yet it's still 48,000 square miles. Approximately the state of Pennsylvania is that size. And so look at the healing that God will bring. He has a plan to change these deserts into fertile ground. And we can truly look forward to that. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, verse 26. Under the reign of Christ, no longer will the farmers and the families have difficulty feeding their children, feeding their flocks. Let's notice what the prophet Ezekiel says here. Ezekiel 34, verse 26. He says, I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the first part of verse 27, then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And so, brethren, we look forward to what God has promised here. This is a beautiful change that is coming. And you think about that the farmers won't have to irrigate like they do. And we won't have to worry about, is it going to rain this month? God says, I will provide all that. And all humanity will eventually rejoice over these blessings that God will pour forth. And so one aspect of seeking the kingdom of God is looking forward to the agricultural abundance that God will bring. We need to keep our eyes on that. Let's look at a second area that will change and ease the minds of so many. Point number two, the nature of animals will be changed. I can still remember as a small child walking with my friend down the block, and as he stuck his hand through the fence there was a dog in there, and he just wanted to pet the dog. And that dog bit his hand, and I can still picture, I think I was only 6 years old, but I can still picture that boy screaming and his hand being all torn up. And yet, you know, here's a little child, he just wanted to pet the dog, you know. We didn't know it was vicious. And so when you hear the stories in the news about these dogs that maul children and all these things, and that's just the beginning of it. And all of you have things in your past that you think about, stories you've read, of how it'll be so nice when these animals are changed. Let's also look here in Ezekiel 34 and verse 25. It says, I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Verse 28. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. So God is telling us some of these things we fear in life. He says, I'm going to change that. And so I can ask each of you, and you would think, you know, like, what animals do you fear? We all have fears of different things. You know, for some of us, it might be if you're allergic to bees or wasps, and you get highly allergic to that. For others, it might be spiders. For some, it might be, if you live in the woods and hike, it might be a bear that you're afraid of. Or living down in Florida, alligators. I saw one out in the pond the other day when we were walking, and the next night when we walked by, a lady with her little child was right next to it, and I go, oh no, I hope she knows there's an alligator in there, because we hear of those stories of every so often the alligators attacking people. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. Isaiah 11, verse 6. I had the opportunity as a young boy. I grew up in California, and I had the chance to go work on a farm in Colorado for the whole summer. And so the farmer would pay the two of us young boys that went there for every gopher we caught, because it did havoc for the fields and all this. So we would go out every evening, and we would try to catch gophers. But one time we caught a weasel in our gopher trap. And so we'd stake that trap so that the gopher couldn't pull it deeper. So we didn't know there was a weasel in the trap in the hole. And as we pulled it out, the dog was right there with us. That weasel was so vicious. I'd never seen anything like it. It grabbed hold of the cheek of the dog and would not let go. And here we are, young boys. We didn't know what to do. You know, we're from the city, and we were trying to hit it off there, and we were afraid of getting bit. But you think about all the things you have seen growing up on a farm and so forth, and how the nature of animals, just think how every animal that you can imagine will be peaceful in nature. Let's look at what God says here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. He says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And we know today these things aren't natural for these two to lie together. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Brethren, won't that be great when we can look forward to these changes that are coming? Most of us have dreamed about having animals as pets, you know, riding a rhinoceros, whatever it might be. And you think about some of these dreams that we've thought about and how wonderful. And it ties in with the millennial setting. Under God's government, so much will change. Things that maybe we haven't even thought about. Instead of dangerous animals, they will be gentle, peaceful, and calm. They'll have a totally different nature. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And so instead of many of these animals eating meat, it says they'll eat the grass just like the cow and be that gentle. I have a cousin that lives up in Minnesota, and they have a piece of land there and have their own animals. And years ago, they had a little deer that showed up. It was injured, and the mother was lost. And so they raised that little fawn, and they would feed it by hand and give it milk. And they said it got so friendly. And it pictures to me the millennium and how it will be. They said it would come up to the kitchen glass and put its nose against the window. It would want to come in the house. And you think about how neat some of these settings are. They also had pictures that they showed us. And they had a large dog like a husky. And they had pictures of that deer just laying right outside their house with this large dog, a little cat. The cat would be licking the deer would lick the cat. And you think about, these are the things that we can look forward to in the future when God begins to change the nature. They actually, when they let it go a year later, they put one of those red vests on it so the farmer, or not the farmers, but the hunters wouldn't shoot it. And they said the next year it came back and it had two little fawns. And so they just got to watch the friendliness of these animals, and we can see from that how we see a little bit of the nature of what God's going to bring and how beautiful it will be. This is how all the animals will be in God's kingdom. God is sharing with us what will happen, and we need to be excited about that. Each one of us needs to talk about that and envision it more. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Now, I don't know too many of us that would want our children being around snakes. Personally, I hate them. And a month or two ago, I was trimming my hedge, and it's shoulder high. And so I have my hands up here with a hedge trimmer, and all of a sudden, a snake raises its head. And yes, I didn't tell my wife before this, because she is so afraid of snakes, she already tiptoes through the grass. But I wanted to share this because you think about this and how God's going to change even the snakes, and that our children can play with them. And so that snake raised its head, and I just froze because it's right here because I'm just trimming the hedge. And I don't know how big that snake was, but he looked huge to me. And so as I stepped back, I took my hedge trimmers and I chopped at him, and I kind of cut him partly so that he fell, and I killed him. But I couldn't believe the fear I had of such a little thing. And you all know your experiences of whatever animals that you're afraid of and how they just, like, make us think twice. And so, brethren, when you think about what God's going to change and all these memories that we have and how they will be more peaceful and gentle, and our kids can literally go and play with any animal at any time. And this is what God is telling us is coming. And we need to have that on our mind. I'll just refer to Hosea 2 and verse 18. It says, in that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. And so you think about what God's going to do with the very nature of the animals and how beautiful that will be. Brethren, their nature will be friendly, and you can picture how a little kitten is. And how cute and cuddly when they're just a little, you know, just a few weeks old. And so playful. And I just picture all the animals being more like that. And so, parents, are you sharing these prophecies with your children? Are you talking about the changes that are coming so that we can all envision it more and we can prepare for what God says will happen? Do you talk about it with your brethren? At least more than you talk about your worries and your jobs and your fears. God says this needs to be a part of your communication. If you truly want it, you need to be talking about it. Let's look at one third major change, a time of major healing. Just as the land will be healed of drought, God also plans to heal the people. And it won't be just physically. We know the spiritual ramifications of that, that there's going to be so many changes. But we'll mainly look at the physical here. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Most of us here know individuals that are blind, that are deaf, that are in a wheelchair, that are paralyzed. We've all had lives touch us And we, you know, in a sense, cry out to God, looking forward to their healing. Notice what's written here in Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Look at how God states that. It's not like, well, maybe. No, he says it will happen. And we, as his children, need to believe that with our whole heart. The World Health Organization states that 285 million people are estimated to be visually impaired worldwide. 39 million are blind and 246 million have low vision. Look at how this one statement of God's, that the blind will be healed, look at how many people it will affect throughout the world. It goes on to say, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Think about that. The World Federation of the Deaf states that approximately 70 million people are deaf. Think about all those people that never heard the birds sing, or maybe they did hear it one time and went through an accident, and they can't hear laughter. They can't hear the singing that we hear. And so we can take these things for granted, but we can also look forward to the time when God says, I'm going to change this, and I have the power to do it. I have stated it. It will happen. And so we need to look forward to that. The American Cancer Society estimates that 1.7 million new cancer cases will be diagnosed in the United States alone this year. And of those numbers, 600,000 will die, approximately. And so you look at when God says a time of healing is coming, and it touches all of us. Whether we're sick or not, we have loved ones that suffer with some of these things. Each of us must yearn for that time when everyone will be healed. You think about how much it affects in a radius. Whoops. It affects so many people. And so if you have someone sick in your family, it affects everyone. You know, the people that care for them, those that are in hospice, those that are in the hospitals, those in the nursing homes. It's amazing. And God says, I'm going to heal that, and that will bring peace to the whole family, to those even not suffering with these diseases. And I want you to think about the joy that will come from that. I mean, we have joy in our life, but you think about somebody that's been sick with a terrible disease when they get healed and how that will be. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3 and get a little feeling of how that might be for some of the individuals that will be healed in the future. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Here's where a lame man who had been lame from birth, and we can't imagine that unless we've had the same situation, but he had been that way his whole life, and he wanted to be healed. Let's pick it up in verse 6 here of Acts chapter 3. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Can you imagine that moment in that man's life, what he felt like? It says in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And this gives me a sense of what it will be like in the millennium and those times when God begins to heal around the world, the joy that will come from that. The joy that we will feel when we see our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors healed in such a way. And so, brethren, this is what's coming. This is just a small representation of what God has in store. Won't it be great when there's no more wheelchairs, no more crutches, no more walkers? It's hard to really imagine that because we've grown up with that. We talk about many things at the feast. We talk about our kids. We talk about our health, about trips we've had in the past. But are we talking about the tremendous changes that are coming? Christ states, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we talk about is what's in our heart. It's what's on our mind. And so God is saying, you know, talk on these things. If our number one priority in life is seeking the kingdom of God, we should be talking about everything that God will bring forth. Let me refer to Isaiah chapter 40 that I read at the beginning in verse 5. I read, it says, the glory of the eternal shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the eternal has spoken. And so God is going to do glorious things that people will begin to see when he makes these changes. And we have the opportunity to read about it now and to get ready for it. As God's children, we need to have this on our minds. We need to be talking about it, thinking about it, especially at the feast time. Express your enthusiasm about a coming time when those deserts will flourish, a time when the nature of the animals will be changed to be peaceful, and a time when healing will happen in so many different ways around this planet. Brethren, this Feast of Tabernacles is an opportunity to have our hearts and minds refocused on God's awesome plan. If we're not thinking about that, if we're not talking about that during the feast, when we're away from our work, away from all the stress of daily life, then I don't think we're going to talk about it when we go back, if we're not talking about it here, when we're with people of like mind, when we're being reminded of that daily. It's very unlikely we will go back and discuss this in great detail if we're not doing it here. Let me just remind you what Paul said in Philippians 4:8. He says to meditate on those things that are truthful and pure and noble and just and of a good report. And these are the words of God that we're hearing today. These are truth. And he says, meditate on those things. And so, brethren, think about how much more you can improve in this area. Our Father desires for his children to be excited about the millennium and all that he will bring about. Show that you believe what he says. Share your enthusiasm for the promises that God has revealed. Let's not forget that these promises will allow the whole world to give glory to God.